previously on Podcast Without Pretense. Gosh, Ayaz, I can't believe you're going to deliver your entire Hannah Montana review in rhyme.
I mean, there's no way you could hack the Metro. That shit's gotta be secure.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Eric Sandin.
And Ayaz Akhtar is currently being held for ransomware. Hey, how was getting to work on last Friday? I guess you weren't because it would post Thanksgiving.
Right. And I don't take Muni, so it wouldn't have affected me. But I guess a bunch of people got free rides, but not really, because most people probably have a monthly pass. So really,
to be fair,
no one but Muni.
If you're on Muni, you're paying for it one way or another.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, when I heard about that, I was like, well, this is great for me because it's a great news story to include in my year-end wrap-up. So for those who do not know, Muni, one of the public transportation systems over in the Bay Area, was hit by ransomware. Hackers were able to infiltrate Muni's top-notch security and install some ransomware, which typically encrypts a machine so that you have to pay somebody to give you the key to decrypt it. And so Muni's response was, well, we can't actually sell any tickets because our machines are all gummed up. So free rides for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know how far you're going to get if you're just like trying to take Muni as far as you can go.
Yeah.
You're not going to get anywhere fun.
I'm going to Broadway.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You know, it's kind of like if it had happened here in Atlanta, well, it would have been pretty bad for a lot of people who very much depend upon, I mean, MARTA probably would have done the same thing, but it would have been rough for people who depend upon MARTA to get around. Right. Although the day after Thanksgiving, actually, I guess the day after Thanksgiving would be the people who need it the most who would have been affected. But same thing here in Atlanta, the public transportation, first of all, it doesn't even go everywhere you need to in the city of Atlanta. Right. There are entire areas, at least of the metro Atlanta area, dangerously underserved by public transportation, including the brand new Braves Stadium that'll open up next year.
Oh, good.
But that's, yeah, I could go on a whole rant about how various sports management groups have dicked over the city of Atlanta since ever, but that would be a very regionally focused thing. And we kind of went on a Georgia rant at the end of the last episode with the boiled peanuts thing.
That was mostly supportive, though. It was about food.
Yeah.
Well, and the KKK. But
right, food of the KKK, two things that the South is known for. But I'm not going to go on another regionalized rant because honestly, there'd be like three people who are, well, first of all, three of our five listeners would completely just tune out. And the other two, one of them's me, so I don't know who the other one is. But Ayaz, by the way, is feeling under the weather, which is why he is not on the show today. And so we let him take the day off, and we decided we'd hold off on our discussion of the last movie that was picked for the viewing pleasure of Podcast Without Pretense. I believe, Eric, you picked it.
I did.
The Hannah Montana movie. You still haven't even watched any of it, have you?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Son of a bitch. I watched however many minutes. I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere. I don't even have to worry about it. I could just start it up again and they'll be exactly where I left off. I watched a certain number of minutes of it and stopped it with the full intention of going back and finishing the movie or even going back to the beginning and taking notes through the whole thing. Cause I didn't start by I was dedicating my full attention to the film. And, I gotta say, not to give you any spoilers at all, but if, this movie was obviously made with its fan base firmly in mind, this was not a movie made to introduce you to Montana. It assumes wholeheartedly that you know who Hannah Montana is.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So you start watching it, and like I was watching it. The only bits about Hannah Montana I know at all are just whatever pop culture references have seeped into my brain because I had never paid attention to it. So watching it start off like at a full run, I was playing a lot of catch up early on. So, not that it's a super deep movie and it's going to lose you or anything, but it definitely, but, is a good pick, Eric, in the sense that it's a terrible pick, Eric.
Great. I'm happy to hear it. How was your holiday? What did you guys do?
Mine was good. So we do the thing, I'm a married man and my wife and I do the thing where every year we'll go to do Thanksgiving at one family and we do Christmas with the other family. And then the next year we swap. So this year it was Thanksgiving with Becca's family, which includes her brother and her mother and her brother's girlfriend. So we went up to Pennsylvania, rural Pennsylvania, for Thanksgiving. Her brother has a turkey fryer, like a electric turkey fryer. So it's actually really safe. It's not fancy. An open flame or anything. He does, however, make sure that he puts it out on their back deck. He doesn't cook it in the kitchen because it generates a lot of oily steam.
Yeah.
So you don't want that oily residue on everything. So he goes outside and does it. So I usually stand out there with him and we talk about whatever and wait for the turkey to fry up. And it fried up in 52 minutes. I mean, it's super fast compared to roasting it, and came out perfect. And then they made me carve the turkey because 2 years ago I carved it using Alton Brown's method of carving a turkey, and they were convinced I was a wizard. So they made me do it again. So I am the official turkey carver at Thanksgiving now. I've done it for my family once too. And it's not that I'm particularly good at it. I just know the general routine and I can follow it pretty well. And it gets like every scrap of meat off of the turkey carcass. So, but, Alton Brown's method of carving a turkey, highly recommended. There's a video, you can watch it. It's very easy to follow. So, what about you? How was your holiday?
So I went in California, apparently Dungeness crabs are a thing that you can get. Crab season starts like now. So you can get them for Thanksgiving, and people do that. I didn't know that. That's weird. I'm from the East Coast. So we bought a bunch of crabs.
But you're from the East Coast where crabs are popular. Crabs are a popular food on the East Coast. So for you, it's like, hey, it's a little bit of home, but at a time of year you normally wouldn't associate with getting crabs.
Right. Also, this is the reason, like 10 times the size, because they're a pound and a half a piece. But it was funny because we went to pick them up and I was like, we should get there as late as the store closes because you're supposed to keep them alive and then hopefully cook them the day of. And I like talked to the dude and I was like, and I had an aerator for the cooler and everything. I talked to the guy and I was like, so do you think I could keep them alive till tomorrow? And he just kind of gave me this look and he's like, well, yeah, probably. And I was like, I don't trust that. And then I like one of the other women behind the counter was like, I would cook them tonight and then just re-steam them for a minute tomorrow morning. And I was like, you said that with confidence. I'm going to do what you said. Because the problem is like, if once they start dying, one of them dies and then they will all die in the tank. So like, you have to just keep checking.
Solidarity.
Yeah. So like, it could have gotten to the point where like I check sometime around 10 PM and go, oh shit. And then I have to fire up a giant boiler to kill all these crabs and steam them and then pack them and whatever. So yeah, I like re-steamed them. Worked out well. I bought like a giant, crab pot, which of course there's no place for in my house because I live in the Bay Area. So I'm not clear what to do with that yet, other than pretty much steam everything for like the next couple years that I eat, just so I can make use of it.
I understand. So last year, I bought an enormous stock pot, ridiculously huge stock pot, because I knew I was going to take a turkey carcass home after Thanksgiving, and make turkey stock. And I was going to then use the turkey stock as the base for vegetable soup every year, pretty much every year. Around this time, I will make an enormous batch of vegetable soup, and I don't have a specific recipe. I go to the farmer's market, and I look and see which vegetables look the best. And that ends up essentially becoming the ingredients of my soup. Now, I have very specific time when I add stuff, because you want to add the things that take the longest to cook first,
right?
So, like, the delicate stuff you add last. So, you know, there's certain rules you follow, but apart from that, like, one year there might be some celery in it, and one year there might not be any celery in it. It just depends. So I went out and bought this stock pot, or let's be fair, I probably ordered it off Amazon. I don't go out and buy shit. That doesn't happen anymore.
Nope. I got a giant crab pot with a propane burner delivered to my house on Amazon.
All right. It's so the only thing you had to go out and buy were the actual crabs, because you can't get crabs from Amazon. Get crabs in the Amazon.
Probably. Yeah.
We made a joke last week, by the way, when we were talking about whether or not we were going to actually do a pre-Thanksgiving podcast without pretense. A spoiler alert, that did not happen. But as we were all making our excuses why that would be a bad idea for us to attempt, Eric pointed out that he needed to try and figure out a way to keep a dozen crabs alive. And Ayaz and I both agreed that had Eric put the crabs on a live stream camera, that alone would have made the best episode of Podcast Without Pretense we have ever done. Had I
tried to keep them alive, I already had plans on how to do this. Like, I had a backup Chromebook. I was like, I can just set it up.
And then crab cam could have been a thing. And like I said, people would have immediately said this was the best episode we had ever done. The one that had none of the hosts talking. But eventually we decided it was impractical, and that's when Ayaz sent our producer Suncast an email message that says, we can't do the show. Eric has crabs. So we're classy guys. Ayaz legitimately made me snort laugh when I read that. I'm glad I was not drinking coffee at the time. I was like, damn it, why didn't I think of that? Were they tasty? Were they good when you actually served them up?
They were great. Yeah, I'm used to cooking blue crabs, so, like, the cooking was a little off. Like, I could tell they were overdone, but no one else who ate them had any idea of that. So, you know, that works
ignorance,
out for me.
Ignorance is great when you're a cook and people don't know what it's supposed to taste like.
And I'm like, these are pretty good, but they're overdone. But whatever, you don't know that.
Okay, so question for you. What would you consider to be the dish you do best? It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be if it is fancy, but what is the dish you would say, like 99 times out of 100, I nail it and it's great?
It's sad given our previous discussion, but it's actually crab cakes. I'm really good at it. Comes out perfect every time, can do it every time. Other people say that I do it very well. Yeah.
See, that's mine probably. Mine is less impressive than that, but I make a really good roasted broccoli dish that has minced garlic and Parmesan cheese and lemon juice as part of it, and kosher salt. And it comes out great. It's really easy to do. You just toss the broccoli in some olive oil. You put it on a baking sheet. You know, one layer. You don't want to have two layers. One layer.
Sure.
You put some minced garlic on top of that broccoli, and you sprinkle it with kosher salt, I recommend. And then on top of that, you then put shredded Parmesan cheese, and you stick it in an oven that's at 425 degrees for about 10 minutes, and then you give it a good shake, and then you put it in the oven for another 10 minutes or so, and you take it out, and then this is the important part. You sprinkle some lemon juice on top of it and then serve immediately. It's delicious. You can actually do a lot of different vegetables that way. I've done Brussels sprouts. I've done asparagus, but broccoli seems to be the best for it, because you get a little bit of char on the broccoli. And so there's a little bit of crunch there. I love it. It's a very simple dish, but the first time I made it, it was one of those rare moments where everything I tried the very first time I made the broccoli dish, everything I tried, it was the first time I'd ever tried doing it, like cooking with stuff, various ingredients, first time. and everything came out perfectly. And I'm like, this never happens. Like, even when I cook with stuff that I'm familiar with, usually, you know, it might be like, oh, this came out really great. That one's all right. You know, like, you know, it's just varying degrees, but everything came out perfectly. And I'm like, I'll never repeat that.
This won't happen again. Yeah.
No, no. I knew immediately that that was just a brilliant moment that will be lost to history. Now, I don't even remember what the other dishes are. Tell you the truth, the broccoli one was the easiest to repeat. So, I will say that, have you ever used like a service like Blue Apron? Have you ever used them?
Yeah, we used, Sunbasket for a long time.
Okay.
Which is like pretty much the same thing.
Blue Apron sponsored, one of my shows. So they sent me, a sample package. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they had me make were Asian inspired chicken burgers, and it came out amazing. Like, I had Blue Apron once before and was, I was like, oh, it's all right. It's pretty good. Like, you know, all the ingredients are there. It's incredibly convenient, but I was like, yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't, if I had ordered this at a restaurant, I probably wouldn't think enough of it to order it again. This time when I got the Asian chicken burgers, I was like, I would, if I had a restaurant that served these, I would be going there all of the times.
We did. So we did Sunbasket for a while. Same basic concept. The reason we liked it was, you could have a more narrow focus to the kinds of meals you wanted. So you could be like, I just actually just want only vegetarian stuff, or like only paleo stuff, or whatever. And yeah,
only like Soylent.
Yeah, only Soylent. Just send me Soylent. But we used it for like, I don't know, 6 months, and then we got to the point where like we would forget to like pause it when we were out of town, so we'd end up with like 3 extra meals, and then the next one would come, and we'd have 3 more extra meals, or like we'd have 2, and you know, one of them would be fish, and we didn't eat the fish, and that carried over into next week, and now we can't eat the fish. And the problem is like, the it makes kind of sense for the price sometimes if you eat all of them, but if you throw one of them away, you are now wasting way too much money on food. But
yeah, no, I mean, well, I mean, yeah, it's like if you go grocery shopping and you overdo it. And you realize, holy shit, I bought way too much produce, and now some of this is going to go bad before I have a chance to eat it. And you're just throwing money away. That's the biggest problem I would have going to farmer's markets. There's a farmer's market that's just outside of our normal ranging area. Like, it's just far enough to be inconvenient. Not terrible, but far enough where you're like, if you just want to do some shopping, you don't want to go out quite that far. And it's also crazy busy, especially on weekends. You do not want to go there. It is a madhouse. And it is just, imagine an enormous warehouse. I mean, this is a huge indoor farmer's market, but a huge warehouse jam-packed with people and buggies all going every which way. It is a nightmare. And I've lived that nightmare several times. But it is an amazing farmer's market. And the you know, you get all sorts of stuff, produce from everywhere. You can, you know, there's usually 4 or 5 different sources for each particular vegetable. So you're like, I don't want to buy these from Mexico. I'm going to buy these from, you know, California or something. You can totally do that, which is cool. And it's super cheap. Like, the farmer's market prices are so much lower than the grocery store prices. So the temptation is there to stock up, but if you're not going to do something, you like come home and you're like, man, we're going to be eating so well for weeks. And then you're like, oh wait, food goes bad.
Right. Oh, I shouldn't have bought 10 pounds of kale. That was too much.
10 pounds of kale is 9.5 pounds too much kale. if I'm making a soup, it's usually okay. Cause I'll make a huge batch of that vegetable soup I do every year, and then we freeze it. So we'll have like keep about maybe a quarter of it to eat for the next couple of days. It's particularly good the day after because it allows the flavors to meld. And then we freeze everything else, and you can just have it whenever you want. The last batch I made, I was disappointed in because I used that turkey stock and it wasn't. I should always stick with a tomato base rather than a stock base for that soup. I think tomato holds up better. So, but, cause the last batch I made, I was like, it's not bad, but it's not terribly flavorful. Like, I feel like I'm eating something healthy, but I'm not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have, have we convinced you yet to trek out to the desert in early January? No. You son of a bitch, man. We could have done a live show in person.
I could look at flights. I don't know. Actually, I probably have points to do it. It's just whether or not. Yeah, I don't know. I might have a free flight to do it.
Sadly, the Sahara no longer exists, so you can't stay at the Sahara.
It's true. That's true.
I'll be
to find some other cheap hotel.
I'll be in a hotel on the south end of the strip, and I'm not going to say which hotel it is, other than it's a Big Apple.
Well, that leaves a lot up to question, but
yeah, clearly the Venetian. It's the Venetian, the Big Apple of the strip. Yeah.
The Big Apple of the strip.
Yeah. I'm going to be there. And we just talked about flights and stuff today. So I've got general plans. Actually, I think I've made a good plan of attack for CES this year.
What is this year about? I don't even know what this year's about.
The trends haven't really been emerging yet, but I would imagine we're going to hear, there's going to be stuff that we just have heard multiple times over the last couple of years. So Internet of Things, AI, those are going to be the big ones. I think those will be the two really big ones. Others will just continue. I mean, I have no idea what big trends are going to be in TV unless they're just pushing HDR harder.
Yeah.
Right. But they're pushing new UIs in smart TVs. I don't know for sure.
I want my TV to become a dumber box, actually. Like,
yeah,
I want it to be a monitor at this point.
I wouldn't mind a television that essentially had Chromecast built into it.
Yeah. I want a dumber box. I don't want it to do anything else. Like there's an Xbox One plugged into mine that literally does all of the things that I need any of the things to do. Like it's got a TV tuner on it too, which is much better than the tuner that's built into the damn TV.
Yeah. I don't use the TV tuner in my Xbox One, but I do use, for multiple reasons that I won't go into. Fuck you, Comcast. I do use it, however, for like watching Netflix, Amazon Prime Video.
I use the tuner for over the air. We don't have cable.
Oh yeah.
I just have an antenna. Yeah. Works fine.
I've got an antenna, but I haven't tried hooking up the tuner through the, so do you have the antenna feed go straight to the Xbox One? Is that how you're doing it? How are you doing this?
Well, you pay like $40 for a dongle. It's just a USB to coax.
Oh, gotcha. I was about to say, how the hell is that?
And the Xbox can grab, you know, the show listings and all that stuff, and it does the scan, so it knows what it's doing. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll do that then, because it would actually accept that. I got to tell you, man, what I want is a super smart entertainment system. I want a super smart entertainment system that just understands what I want it to do at any given time. if you did it with the Xbox One, if everything's fed through there, then it makes it easier because you don't have to switch inputs to go like, now I want to watch television as opposed to watch whatever's on Xbox.
And my Chromecast is plugged into the pass-through on the back.
Nice. I didn't even think about doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. That's such a good idea. Because right now I just have the Chromecast.
Literally everything goes through it. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, see, in my case, I've got like my subwoofer for my sound system has HDMI inputs and everything in there. So it acts as a switcher too. So I've got everything going into that instead of going into the Xbox. But I think I may look into switching it over to doing the Xbox, because then it just makes it easier. You don't have to keep on switching. Like, you don't just have, in my case, you wouldn't have to just switch the input from Xbox to, say, television, or in the case of the Chromecast to the the one that the Chromecast is plugged into. Mm-hmm. You also have to switch the sound system as well. It just gets cumbersome. And so I want a system. I would love an all-in-one system that can give me superior sound as well as video and be smart enough to know what I need to do.
You can do the digital out from the Xbox, and that's all you need. Like, you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably have to do it that way. I mean, well, I've already got the digital out to the Xbox for the sound system, but I just need to feed everything in through the Xbox now.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, because originally I was going to do, you know, you can hook up cable through your Xbox.
Right.
And that's where I started to get super pissed at Comcast. I was already pissed, but I got super pissed because I don't know if you're aware of this, Eric, but sometimes I have problems with my cable provider.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah. And one of the issues I had was that I kept on having to call and have people come out over and over and over again. It was really getting frustrating. And of course, Comcast never really makes any move to, refund me any money or give me a discount or anything like that. So, the straw that broke the camel's back really was when I called in and I said, listen, I've got the cable box, which I hadn't even used since moving into this house. But one of the service calls that came in, the guy's like, I'll just go ahead and hook this up for you too. Cause it was never working. I had it hooked up to the TV at one point, but it never would scan the channels. It just wasn't working. He fixed it.
Right.
So now I had cable, which I was paying for, but I never really gave a shit. So I didn't really care one way or the other. And, I thought, I'll run the cable through my Xbox One. And that way I can use all those lovely benefits, except the cable box I have does not have HDMI out.
Oh, right.
At all.
Yep.
It's an old standard definition.
I can't believe they're still sending those damn things out. It doesn't even make sense.
And that was the thing I called Comcast and I said, listen, I've been having so many problems with my service. And I was just wondering, what is it going to take for me to get a freaking cable box that has HDMI out? And he said, you'll need to upgrade your service to HD. And I'm like, or I could just go over the air with my antenna, my HD antenna, and get HD over the air, which doesn't drop out for no frickin' reason.
Works pretty well, actually.
Yeah. So, I don't tend to watch much television, but I do have an over-the-air antenna, so sometimes I will, once in a blue moon, turn something on, but it's really rare. It's usually, if it's an event-type thing. Like, I watched...
It's pretty much what we use it for. Like, we watch the debates on it. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do that because I didn't want to. I knew there was nothing in the debates that was going to change my mind. So
that's true.
But it's just watching a train wreck at that point. But I did watch, although some would argue this was equally as harrowing, I watched the Rocky Horror show that Fox did, the remake of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which, by the way, was pretty tame. And the longer it went, the less happy I was about it. It started off okay, but it quickly got lame. So
yeah,
I'm hopeful for Hairspray Live. I love musicals, hopeful,
but you know.
It's got most of the cast from the original Broadway run, or at least some of the cast from the original Broadway run. But it's one of those shows. I want to see more Broadway shows without having to pay $1,000 a ticket, plus flights, plus hotel. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone's into it. I have made a pact not to choose a musical for our next movie once we are done with Hannah Montana.
I'm fine with musicals. Ayaz is the one that's not down, it seems.
If I can find a foreign musical where not only is it a musical, but we have to read subtitles, I think Ayaz will quit the show. It'll be The Acrobats, the musical. He'd be like, fuck awesome, it, actually. I'm done. Yeah. I don't think I'll be able to do that. There were a few I have to check with my wife. She sent me an email of movies that she suggested we look for at for Podcasts Without Pretense, and they all look terrible. There was something I saw on Amazon Prime that looked really bad. I'll have to see if I can find that again. But it looked like one of those terrible, like, exploitation style movies. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this could be fun to talk about, but it would be one that Ayaz would have to watch without, you know, his kid around.
But yeah, that's true.
No. And you wouldn't be able to watch it, like, on public transportation.
Yeah.
Worse things happen in the Bay Area. Have you guys? So I know that San Francisco has had some interesting reactions post election. Have you guys been have you been affected at all by any protests or anything like that? Whether it's just, you know, screwing up your commute or something?
No, actually not really. We've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Either just happening to be there or actually just like going there. But
wow.
Yeah. Because I don't go, a lot of them are like in the Mission, which isn't going to affect anyone's commute really.
Sure.
And I guess they had a couple in Oakland, but they were like later on. So, I mean, none of them have actually directly like screwed up a commute or anything. But
yeah. I had one earlier this week that would have screwed up my commute had I been in the office that day, but I was working from home, or at least potentially made it a little more interesting to get home. I walk, so it's not as big a deal for me, like
right.
If a road gets shut down. But the road that got shut down is a Ponce de Leon Road. That's how we say it here in Atlanta, Ponce de Leon. And Ponce de Leon is a pretty major thoroughfare in Atlanta. I said I wasn't going to get regional on this, but now I am.
Yep, there you go.
Anyway, it passes right in front of the building that my office is in. So apparently yesterday there was a big march protest that went down Ponce de Leon and shut down that road. And it was about the minimum wage. Georgia is one of the states that has one of the lowest minimum wages of state minimum wages in the U.S. In fact, I think Georgia is tied for the lowest with like Wisconsin or something. Don't quote me on that. I could be totally wrong about the other state, but I know it's one of the lowest. And so there was a big protest, but I was working from home, so I was blissfully ignorant of it until I came to work today. And today we had tornado warnings, an actual tornado touched down. Yeah, it was weird. I was sitting down, I was working. My phone starts going crazy. I look over and it's, you know, a Google alert saying tornado warning in your area. And I'm like, oh gosh, I knew that storms were moving through, but it wasn't even raining at that point yet at my office. And I look down the phone and I'm like, huh, tornado warning, set it down, look up. And immediately I see the entire video staff, which works in an area that doesn't have windows, walk up and stand in front of the wall of windows in front of me. And I thought, you guys are doing exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do in the event of tornado weather.
By the glass windows. Yeah, this makes sense.
But I did say that I felt somewhat protected because I had effectively a retaining wall made up of video staff. So
right.
Between me and the shards glass.
Yeah.
No. It turned out to be fine, but I said it turned out to be fine. We also have had a drought here in Georgia for the last couple of months. Like, we had a really super wet August and early September, but then it dried up and it stayed dry. And we've had wildfires in North Georgia that have been really out of control. Yeah. There's been smoke all the way down here, miles away from where the fires are. Although we haven't had any for the last few days, but that rain certainly was something we were hoping for, but maybe not all at once.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, it was kind of funny to see like the entire group just come around. Like, clearly everyone had that alert go off on their phone simultaneously. So yeah,
pretty much.
It is weird
standing in those areas when those alerts go out too. I had that happen once, and I think it was like an amber alert or something. And you just see like 30 people all like pick out their phone and look at it. And I'm like, well, it's effective apparently. Yeah.
It's clearly not a text message. Yeah.
Right.
I actually got an Amber Alert just before we started. My phone went off and I thought it was someone calling me, but it turned out to be one of those. So I got both a weather alert and an Amber Alert today. It has not been a great day out there in Georgia land. Yeah. But yeah, it's, we're hopeful that the next messages I receive on my phone are positive ones. I would also like, to have a nice strong internet connection for once in my life.
It would be great if somebody just randomly who had control over the alert system just sent everyone in San Francisco a message. Hey guys, have a nice day.
Yeah, things are going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other news, just before we started this, I installed Google Home. I got a Google Home over I got the Black Friday deal for Google Home, which was went for $100. So I bought it. I was like, all right, I'm taking the plunge. And I also am getting 3 Nest thermostats soon. And because what's that?
3 of them going super high.
Yeah. I've got three thermostats in the house. And so just to keep it kind of all uniform, so for resale value, partly, we wanted to go ahead and make it, the same throughout. So I've got one on each floor of my house. Not including the rooftop deck, because it wouldn't work.
So what I wonder here is, so let me explain to you where my thermostat is. There's a heater here. Like, let's say this is the edge of the heater.
Yeah.
Here's the thermostat.
So so you turn on the heat.
This is real distance here. Yeah.
Right. You turn on the heat and it immediately is like, oh, it's warm enough.
Yep, pretty much. The thermostat must be set to about 90 degrees before the rest of the house is heated.
Yeah. Wow.
Poor planning. Yeah.
We luckily don't have any of our thermostats close. The biggest problem I have is the one that's out in the hall just outside of this room. So the room I'm in right now, this is in the bottom floor of my house. So it tends to be the coolest, obviously, your bottom floor. So makes sense. Cold air is denser and the warm air floats above. So it tends to be the coolest area of the house. And the thermostat's in the hall just outside, but the vent is in this room. So if that door is closed, if that door is closed and I turn on the heat, it gets boiling hot in here, like rapidly. And then
that is the problem.
Yeah,
we have the opposite problem in our office, which is the thermostat is in one of the closed door offices. So if that door gets closed, the thermostat starts heating up and eventually the rest of the office has to be cooled down because it's 65 in this one room. So cool everybody else down. Yeah, it's I don't get how HVAC systems are so poorly designed.
Yeah, I wish that the thermostat was actually in this room instead of in the hallway. That would make life so much better because this is the only room on this floor. There's this office and there's this office and a bathroom, and then there's a little hallway that goes. There's the front door. You open the front door, you are in the downstairs hallway. Off to the left is this room right here.
Yeah,
straight ahead are the stairs up to the living room. And just to the left of the stairs, also straight ahead of you. So like, think of a fork, on one side you have the stairs and on the other side, there's the door that goes into the garage. That's it. There are no other rooms in this. So it would make way more sense to have the thermostat in this room where you could set it and it would shut off when it got to the right temperature, but instead it's in the hallway. So anyway, we're getting 3 Nests. We're going to hook those up. And the reason I got 3 also, it's not like I'm made of money, but there was a huge deal on Black Friday that I was able to take advantage of. One was through my power company where, my electrical company. Yeah. So they had a thing where you could sign up for a power saver kind of account where you take a specific approach trying to not use as much power during peak hours as possible. And in return, you get discounts and you also get one Nest thermostat. And then on Black Friday, they were also selling Nest thermostats for $100 a piece. So for $200, I got three Nest thermostats. Yeah. So I was like, they're typically $240 a piece. So technically I got three for less than the price of one.
Yeah.
And combining that with the Google Home will be nice, 'cause I'll be able to control the temperatures of the various floors at just through voice, which is neat.
Just by yelling at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I demonstrated it.
Can you just yell, it's too hot?
That's a good question. I don't know. Well, I don't have the thermostats yet. So until I get them and install them, I don't know what commands will work with them. I've been trying some stuff. There are some limitations. Like some things, it can recognize very quickly and then find you basic information and return it. Most of the time, it's relevant information. Sometimes it's not. Like I've found different questions to ask, and some of the answers are not so great. Like, out of curiosity, I know the answer. I said, what city in the United States gets the most annual rainfall? And it did a Google search and came back with a tiny snippet from an article that says, if you think Seattle gets the most rainfall, you're wrong. But it didn't say what city does get the most rainfall.
That was the end of the snippet. That's
great. There was a little bit more to it, but it still wasn't the right answer. And, because it's Hilo, Hawaii, by the way. It didn't give me the answer, and most stuff it's pretty good. Like I even said, who played Dr. Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show? And it's like Tim Curry played. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It worked. But yeah, some things work really well. Some things don't. Like the most useful stuff is like things that you would normally have to do some sort of conversion or look up.
The thing that I'm worried about, I actually thought about this because I almost bought a Google Home on Monday, because I think they still have that discount. And then I was like, I don't really want to spend the money on that. But also, I don't know because I have a Kinect for the Xbox One. So if I'm just like randomly shouting things, different things are going to answer me with, and possibly both at any one time. Yeah.
I started to wonder what would happen if a commercial for Google Home came on while I, because it's right there next to it's on my entertainment system.
Oh, that happens. So that actually happens in, we've had this happen in meetings before. And two of the guys I work with who used to work for Google, like they pretty much said everybody had to turn off OK Google on their phones, because you'd sit in a meeting and you'd hear it 50,000 times and everybody's phone would start bloop.
Yep. Yeah, especially once they set it where your phone doesn't even have to be active. Like you don't have you don't have to unlock it for it to work. Yeah, I knew the issues with OK Google before they became a problem on smartphones, because I was an early. Yep, there goes my phone. It just figured out what I was saying. I just looked over there and it heard me. But that's because I was an early adopter of Google Glass, which used that as.
Right. Yeah.
And I used it a couple times and thought, this is really neat. And then I thought, I know a lot of really asshole-ish people.
Oh, yeah.
And if they know that that phrase will
triggers
alert.
The command.
Yeah. And then they could just say search Goatsy or something along those lines. Right. And I've got a screen right in front of my frickin' eye. I'm like, oh, this is a recipe for disaster. So I would usually just use the touch commands without letting people know that I could do things. I would occasionally, just to show off, I would take a photo using it, because it always impressed people. That was fun.
So the other thing I was thinking of was things that I actually use for voice commands on my phone. And the two voice commands I use on my phone, one of them is, what song is this? And that's actually not very often. And the other one is, set a timer. The times I've set a timer using voice commands vastly outweighs every other command I've ever used.
I've used it to set an alarm. right? Like an alarm.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah. But the thing I like to use, like the one here, I used it to ask what time it was in different time zones. So I'd say like, what time is it in Los Angeles? And it would tell me that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like if you want to make a call to somebody and you happen to know, like, oh wait, they're in Hawaii or whatever. What time is it over there?
It's only one account right now, right?
That's how I have it set up.
Yeah,
I've got and here's the thing is that I've got two accounts set up on my phone because we just switched from Outlook to G Suite at work.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, well, that means I can check all my emails and stuff and get alerts and everything on my phone. I don't know why I chose to do that. It's a terrible thing I've done to myself. I am now easily reachable. Yeah, especially right now because we're leading up into CES. Next week I start shooting a new season of Forward Thinking. So there's a ton of stuff going on, and being reachable is terrible because now people know they can get a hold of me.
Yep, pretty much.
If you have an option, don't put work email on your personal device. It's just going to cause more heartache in the long run. But I did it, and I'm stupid, so. But on the flip side, it will come in handy when I'm at CES. That'll be whenever I do get a signal, which will be like 3 times a day.
Right.
So, I guess we can wrap this up. This has been not as long as it seems to me because we had a good, 30-minute chunk where I couldn't connect at all. But hopefully in our next episode, Ayaz will rejoin us and we can have our deep discussion about Hannah Montana.
Yep.
And really dive into what makes her tick and have a discussion about the embarrassing shoe shopping sequence that you guys have not yet seen. It's something.
Amazing.
It's something. All right. So I guess we'll peer into the future. So let's find out what happens next time on Podcast Without Pretense. Gosh, Ayaz, you're going to do your whole Hannah Montana review in interpretive dance?
I mean, it was pretty cool that you recorded an entire trip to the flea market, but really arguing with that old man for 30 minutes was probably not good to film.